All right, good morning. This is Commissioner Zach Brooks. Joining me is Commissioner Leslie Van Beek. It is February the 26th, 9:30 a.m. I am going to skip around on the agenda this morning. So first, we are going to take up the action item to consider independent contractor agreements for interpreter services for three contracts. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning.
Did you want to put anything on the record concerning these? I mean, I read them.
Our department's really excited because we have a certified Laotian and Thai interpreter. And so we're definitely seeing a little bit more of these languages. And also we have a CDI interpreter who's local. And so also, you know, with the nonverbal languages, there are very few CDI interpreters. So I'm very happy that we're able to add another CDI interpreter to our pool.
And that's
that's a form of a nonverbal, except you know they're deaf and mute, and
okay.
It's more of the modern sign language.
Okay.
So we have cases where we need the ASL and the CDI interpreters together.
Okay. I'm glad you found somebody.
Yes.
Chairman, I'd just like to highlight that Grace does a great job for cost containment in the county. She searches the world over to find people who are qualified, and that's a true statement, to fulfill this role in the interest of people that are in need of language services. We have like 35 service languages now that we're servicing in Canyon County. So, Grace, thanks for what you do and for just looking out for the taxpayer as well as the people that are in need of these interpretive services. I'm in favor of approving the three interpreters as presented. Maria Johnson and Deanna Stubbs. I don't know how to say the other one. Perhaps you do.
I can't pronounce it very well either.
Okay. So we'll just, that will be my motion, that we approve the three highlighted individuals as presented.
And also, the reason why Maria Johnson is asking for a little more is she is now federally certified. And I'm excited, even though she lives in Montana, because we're getting more of the high profile. We have our murder cases. So in the event our federal interpreters, there are very few here in Idaho, we can, you know, fly her in the event we need a federal interpreter.
Okay.
And I do, you know, for these types of trials, I prefer having a federal interpreter and also a regular state interpreter, certified interpreter, just to, you know, protect everything.
Right. And
she's federally certified now.
Chairman, how many federal interpreters do you have?
In the state of Idaho, there's three federal certified interpreters for all of Idaho.
Okay. And what I hear is pay differential depending on your certification.
Yes. And now $65 an hour with a 3-hour minimum. So our county, the only time I'll ask for one is for those types of high profile cases.
Okay.
The majority, you know, we pay less because we just need the state certified interpreters at that point, which is at $50 an hour with a 2-hour minimum.
Okay. Thanks for all that information. I think there's a motion out there to approve.
Thank you, Grace. I will second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, next we will take up the agreement with Gold Metal Construction for the safety padding. Good morning, directors.
Morning.
Morning, sir. Did you get it?
Yeah, so, commissioners, Mr. Chair. This was something that was budgeted in FY26. This is something on one of our tours that we gave the commissioners of the new padded cell area in Juvenile Detention Center. This is the padded material that will be hung up inside of the cell. Again, if we sent an invoice in full ahead of time at full cost, they would knock off $2,500. So anytime we can get a reduction in any of the for materials is a huge deal. So yeah, I mean, this is just going into the juvenile detention center. We have used the same company in the Del Hell jail for their padded cell. Okay. So they did a very good job. They do come from back east. So it's about a 12 to 16 week lead time for this material. So again, it's trying to get it here as quick as possible and get this the cell up and go, and so that it can be used for juvenile detention center.
Do you want to speak to the necessity of this?
Sure. So the reason we went with the padded cell, any mental health, we're getting more and more mental health kids that come in. And this really protects liability-wise. Anyone that might be trying to hurt themselves, and the less restrictive is what you would say, the better for the kids, less trauma, those kind of things. So liability-wise, this really helps us out. It gives us another tool in our tool belt to help the kids that are in those crisis situations. This will also help the intakes. If we have any of the kids who are coming down off drugs or erratic behaviors, this cell will help prevent the injuries, and it will save the county a lot of money in that aspect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Chairman, I'm totally in favor. I appreciated the tour. And Rick and his team have a plan, as like they always have, the A-team plan for how to improve the facilities. Director Brown does a great job. A lot of those kids come back around. That's the best home they've had, is somewhere where someone cares about their well-being in detention. So really a good partnership, a good win for the mental health crisis component that's in there. So Chairman, I move that the board approves the Gold Medal Construction Corporation contract for the padding in the juvenile detention facility as presented. The cost of the contract is $26,748. Thank you for the discount.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thanks. Next up is a resolution authorizing CCSO to donate county property.
Thank you. Is in a suit today.
Thought you were getting nervous.
Good morning.
Good morning, Captain.
So we have 9 IBR 600 Cradle Points, which is their commercial name. What they specifically do is their in-car network routers. So it's the device used to get the information from the officer's laptop back to our county network. These particular devices have reached the end of their service life for Canyon County. We've replaced with newer models in all of our vehicles, and they're also no longer supported for software updates by the Cradle Point company, but they probably still have 3 or 4 years left of good life in them. We'd like to donate them to Wilder PD, who currently don't have any Cradle Points in their vehicles.
Yep, Chairman.
Yeah.
So Ben Kramer, you're here with a smile as usual, and on the cost of these individually is what we would look at. That's $250 or less.
That is correct.
Okay, correct. Appreciate you having eyes on this contract. I'm totally in favor. It does benefit, and I want to highlight that I'm really proud of Canyon County. We have an up and coming emergency operations center that's utilizing the latest technology and information that we can to manage incidents that happen in Canyon County, and they appear to be somewhat increasing in number or in severity. So, Captain, thanks for being here and talking about that. Chairman, I move that the board signs the resolution of the Canyon County Board of Commissioners designating surplus personal property with nominal value and authorizing the donation of the Canyon County Sheriff's Office equipment Cradle Points as outlined and presented.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Captain. All right, next we will do a resolution to adopt changes to the job description, job title of one position in the Parks Department.
Good morning.
Good morning, Director.
Come on, Mickey. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. We are trying to work really hard to streamline and make consistent across the county job titles and how they and how, just to make it consistent. We previously had a job description at Parks for a maintenance coordinator. It really was a mistitle. It gave candidates the wrong idea that there was some sort of coordination with this role, and this is really a task-oriented role. You are a technician. You are a doer. You are not a coordinator. You are a doer. The old job description also had a lot of words that indicated there was some supervisory aspect of that role, which there is not. So we went back in, we reworded it. We wanted to make sure also that the candidates were 100% aware that this job is based out at Celebration Park. So when they applied for the job, they knew that their base would be out at Celebration Park. And so we have streamlined the job description. We have changed the job title to Maintenance Technician-Parks. There is no grade change. This is only a change in the job description and the job title. The grade will remain the same, which makes it consistent with every other maintenance technician in the county, no matter the department.
Okay. Director Schwend, anything to add?
No, I just want to thank Marty for assisting us with this, because I think this will make it much clearer to people what they're applying for. So I appreciate this change, and hopefully we can get this position filled.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for putting the information on the record. I mean, we get these and we don't see the current ones. So sometimes it's hard to figure out why we are making this change. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
So Commissioner.
Well, and I'm happy we're moving forward, because Nikki has needed this position for a long time. So this is vital to the parks, success out there, and safety for employees, safety for people that go out there. So I am very in favor. I appreciate the work that's gone into updating this job description to reflect what's accurately being done out there. And with that, I move that the board authorizes and adopts the changes to the job description and the job title of one position in the Parks Department, from maintenance coordinator to a maintenance technician.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who's got solar winds? Are they both IT?
Yeah,
the EDU.
Sure, the last two are IT. So.
Okay, let's do both of those then.
Katie Pendle and Mickey Schlepe, you all come up. We'll do a solar winds.
Okay.
You don't mind, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I guess for the same comment that I just made for the job description applies to these. I read through these and it's like, there's no description of like where we use this or whatnot. So you have to wait to hear what you have to say this morning.
So, Mr. Chair, the solar winds is actually a product we use countywide. And this is for distribution of data, and files are too big to email. And there's some areas that use that in the county. And we've got the PA for evidence sharing. The assessor uses it for plat room data sharing. Constituent services is sharing video PRRs with local law enforcement. A recorder's office for external recorder data, and then in general. So this is just a platform to exchange data securely outside of email, and we can send it, and the link will die after X amount of time. And this is a budgeted expense, it's $2,000.
Okay.
We have our CTO here, along with his team. I didn't know, Chairman, if he had any comments for this. I appreciate the review of these contracts that are outside the scope of my expertise and being able to read through and interpret that. So
yeah, no, I'm learning as well. And matter of fact, we just had a meeting with the treasurer's office, and they're in need of using this as well for some larger files. So it's used countywide for sure.
Yeah, awesome.
Anything else?
These are just some of those contracts that we do negotiate the rates. The renewals for these ones coming up are actually 3 years, a discounted rate for signing for 3 years. So
okay, good. And legal, you brought the contract, so I'm assuming you looked at them.
That's correct, Chairman.
Okay.
And Chairman, I'm also happy to say that in the board's policy of reviewing these contracts, that they are going up for review for price and terms, all of that. So thank you to the IT team and the legal team and to the chief for looking these over. I think that's a huge win that we have eyes on those before those are approved without undergoing that process. So with that in mind, I move that the board approves the SolarWinds end user license agreement for Canyon County IT department contract as presented.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Next, we have EDU.
So, Mr. Chair, this is the product we use at the print shop. And so the county can upload print jobs with formats, business cards. We also have a storefront out there where people can check out and get CD media, DVD media, USB media. It's kind of like a storefront, like a Best Buy.
Okay.
So you can check out, go to the print shop, pick all that up, and we can buy in bulk and save money that way.
Okay.
So with this one, that did go to legal for review because they're going to a cloud subscription. So there's a change on subscription model on this. And it's a $2,000 annual renewal. It's budgeted, it's anticipated, but they're willing to, they say, eat the cost to move us to the cloud, is to get us to their new platform. So there's no cost to migrate.
Okay. Legal? You good? Any further comments?
I don't think so. I mean, and I will add one comment. We've actually worked really hard because on-prem, we had more storage. And we worked really hard to trim that down to fit and keep the cost down by moving to the cloud. So we did do that.
Yep.
It's been a process.
I'm in favor.
I'm in favor. IT is a big department under the board that manages and touches everything in the county, and the print shop is one of them. So appreciate you being here. Chairman, I move that the board signs the master software subscription agreement for EDU Business Solutions for the Print Shop Pro and Design Conductor and Smart Track Pro as presented.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Thank you. I think the last item we have here is a resolution reappointing Doug Shin to the Canyon County Mosquito Abatement District Board of Trustees. And seeing as he is not here to object, I would make that my motion to adopt this resolution and reappoint him.
And I agree with you. I'll second the motion with discussion. Doug Shin has served faithfully and is recommended for reappointment by the Mosquito Abatement District. Even though he's not here, he's been doing this for a long time. And it's actually pretty fascinating if you want to get into mosquito larva, but that's my motion to approve.
I second.
Well, you actually made it, and I seconded. But.
Oh, yes. That is true. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. There are a lot of you still here. That kind of concerns me. So, what else do we got?
Chairman, I know we have at least one matter with Director Britton.
And then, Mr. Chair, we have two public discussions. One about major discussion on purchasing of the print shop equipment. So I'd like to talk about that. And then we also have a Director Dan here to talk about the coroner's on call pay.
Oh, that's right.
You want to come back on?
Please.
So we are moving. Good morning. Sorry. We are moving forward with correcting the coroner's office's employees. We're moving them back to the 40-hour pay week. We discussed that previously. On the day that we discussed that, the coroner received a resignation for one of her deputy coroners. So with that, that does make us have to alter her schedule for a little while until we can get that position filled, trained, and ready to operate on their own as a deputy coroner. So we are going to have to move back to the deputy coroners will work 10-hour days, and then they will be on call. So they're going to be on call one day a week and then one weekend a month. They will be on call. So when looking at what their job description does and the amount of hours that they will be required to be on call, it does correlate to our specialty pay that we have for the detectives in the sheriff's office. And so I would just like to match the on-call specialty pay, which is a differential pay. It's a stipend, really, on-call specialty pay. It is additional pay each pay period. If a call does come out during the period of time that these deputy coroners are on call, they are getting paid their regular hourly rate or overtime, whichever it would equate to. They will record their hours and clock their time for when there is an issue that they have to go out on a call while they're on call. But this specialty pay is just a waiting period specialty pay. We are engaging them to wait, to be ready to go out on a call. And that is what, I'm requesting that for them for now. And that is for each deputy coroner. It would be $3,000 annually or $115.38 per pay period. That would be added to their base rate.
Chairman?
Yeah.
I have a question. So, Marty, what I heard you say is that whether they go out or not, they're going to be paid the specialty pay.
They are.
Okay.
It's called an engaged to wait pay.
And we have that in other departments.
We do.
Yes. So, okay, I just wanted to make that clarification. And then, Chairman, I would want to make sure we have our employment law person here. I just need a head nod from him, I guess, for me.
Okay. What I'd say is we're looking at some of these specialty pays in the sheriff's office as well, just to make sure that we're fully in compliance with the FLSA. So I don't see any reason not to move forward with this at this point, subject to a review, just to make sure that we're not inadvertently triggering overtime and things like that with them.
Okay. So. All right. I appreciate your feedback. Thank you. And is there an action item or just a...
No, it's direction. I guess that office is getting pretty thin. I don't know what other options we really even have.
We don't right now, not for her. The schedule that she sent me yesterday, just as a follow-up, if the job is posted, the deputy coroner position is posted, and we are actively reviewing candidates to fill this role. I think the concerning thing from a human resources perspective is she was fully staffed before this resignation. I do think that, and I have encouraged the coroner to take a look at if her full-time equivalent is enough, and I'm not super sure that it is. Even when we get this position filled and trained, I'm not super sure that 5 deputy coroners is enough to sustain the number of calls that they manage each month or each year. And so I'm encouraging her to take a look at that to see if, and I'll help her, and we can look at what it means to have all of these calls and what equates to another full-time equivalent position, if that's something that needs to be requested for FY20.
That is going to be good information for her to compile and then provide to the board with the upcoming budget.
Mm-hmm. And we'll work on it. We're actually already working on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. I think that I had mentioned something like that in evaluating, just because of the growth in the county. I'm glad to see that she's reconsidering that posture, because what she and her team do, it's very difficult work. It's mentally exhausting. It's everything. So I am good with this direction.
Okay, thank you.
Do you need anything else from us?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
Just to follow, typically we do this by resolution to kind of call out what this on-call is.
Chief. Chief Rast. I actually looked at all of our approved resolutions, and I even asked Jenna to look at the approved resolution, and we don't have any. The last approved specialty pay resolution was for FY23 for the Sheriff's Officer K-9 specialty pay, and we don't have anything else. We do have a specialty pay for on-call specialty pay through facilities for FY25, but I even asked Jen, and we got on the phone to like keywords, anything that we could search, and we don't have anything via resolution on that.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think there's one for IT that was gone back in 17, and then the fleet was discussed through the budget process.
The fleet and facilities was what my very first year here was definitely discussed in the budget process, but just in knowing we thought we were going to need to, I just asked Jenna to help me because I searched last night, and then she helped me search this morning, thinking that your guys' records would be more, hopefully we can find anything.
Then, however you want to do it.
Legal.
Whether we need a resolution or not, I'm not sure.
Well, we just need some sort of official act by the board to engage it. If it's been done inside of the budget, that makes sense, because you would have it in that final budget document authorized. Since this is not, within your normal budgeting procedure, a resolution makes sense. Or
you know, or it's added to blue sheets. I don't know how easily that can be added to a blue sheet or a blue sheet pushed through. Either way, as long as there's a paper trail.
The blue sheet works?
No objection.
Because that's you just filling it in, right? Yeah.
So we have actually, I have actually the blue sheets prepared for all four deputy coroners, but wanted to have this conversation first before we sent blue sheets through process.
I'm good with it on a blue sheet if legal's good with it.
I'm amenable just as long as we're consistent and that it's processed in the same way across the county.
Yeah, as a reminder, when specialty pay is added or removed from any employee in any department or office, it is always through a blue sheet. That's why we redesigned the blue sheet back when I very first came on board with the county to actually include that box that has all this. That has
we have some today, in fact, in the folder to sign. Yeah. Better that way. So, okay, let's do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing else needed from me, correct?
Not that I'm aware of. No? Okay. Thank you. IT, you want to come back up? Print shop equipment procurement. Is that what you said, Chief?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, on this one, this will be the last one. I'm actually present for IT. Going forward, I'm going to Mr. Webb and team. So the print shop, we have an opportunity. As we know, equipment in the print shop, it's very expensive and maintain, and talk to Chief Bazzoli on this. We feel like it'd be a good time to talk to the board about these big POs that'll be coming through. These are budgeted expenses, but these are major capital expenditures. So in FY26, we budgeted $191,000 to replace two major pieces of equipment in the print shop. And we have two big, we call them print presses. Really do booklets, they do all kinds of things. They're pretty big. We budgeted $141,000 for that one piece of equipment, and then about $48,000 for a black and white big piece of equipment. Boise Office Equipment is our vendor. They're a Xerox. We did go to RFP. They won the contracts. We've been buying from them. So they contacted us, and we had an account review with BOE. We have the opportunity for $163,000 to replace both big print presses and the black and white, and we can save $28,000. And the reason why we're going this route is all this equipment has between 3 and 4 million clicks on them. There's a lot of clicks on this equipment. It's costs about half as much to run through the print shop, so there's a lot of savings there. And so we have the opportunity to do this. They call them certified pre-owned equipment. There's like 6,000 clicks on these things. They're like demos. And we've done that before to save us money, because the two that we have out there, the two big print presses, we bought CPOs, and to save a significant amount. And so this $141,000, if we do this, it'll save us for doing a request for FY27 for another $141,000. So we felt like the four of us, this made sense to go forward. But again, these are big expenses. So before just a PO shows up in your inbox for approval, we want to talk through that.
Yeah. I'm in favor, Chairman. I appreciate this. Again, this team does a great job. They touch every office and department in the county, and keeping track of all of that data on usage is no small task. So it's a great team. Thank you for what you do. And I think this makes a lot of sense to move forward.
Commissioner Brooks, thanks. Quick question.
Yeah.
Chief Ross, how old is the equipment that it's replacing right now?
Yeah, Chief Bazzoli, Ms. Chair. One piece of the major equipment was purchased in FY20, so it's 6 years. The other one was FY19, 7 years. And then the black and white was FY18. That's why we're going to push the other one another year to run, but we have the opportunity to replace them now.
Okay. Mr. Webb, anything?
Just learning this part of the business, sitting through all these meetings with BOE, and no, this sounds, I think this is a great win. They worked us some really good deals on the two printers, especially. So,
6,000 clicks on 3 to 4 million worth of usage is a test drive around the auto lot, basically. I mean, that's nothing.
Right. Yeah.
We know they work.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm on board. I mean, what do you need from us?
It's just more of a discussion on the record, just to give you explanation of the
heads up. We're about to see a purchase.
Yeah.
Okay.
So after this meeting, Ms. Pendle will be putting this in.
Kyle's excited back there. I can see it.
That's only for people that have tons of questions.
I do want to add, with these machines over in the print shop, they when we took over IT, when Greg started and I started shortly after him, the press machines were built two separate ways to handle two separate types of jobs. And over the last 10 years, we've got them to a point where they're almost similar. These builds will actually put them duplicated. So it'll be, if one goes down, the other can pick it up no matter what.
Oh, that's great. Is.
So these setups are extremely beneficial, I think, countywide.
Chairman Burks, I think we wanted to make sure the record was clear. From the budget, there was original discussion of purchasing two items, then you purchased three, so we just wanted to make sure that, you know, if anybody looking at the road down here would wonder what was going on, that that's the explanation, is we can get three for cheaper than two.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's talk about my favorite well in Canyon County. Very definition of a money pit.
Again, good morning. I want to kind of just bring forward the well out at Ween Pest, that we have a shared well with the Highway District and the Weed and Pest Control Office. I believe about 3 months ago, we just went and replaced, spent about 10 grand to have the pump redone. About 2 weeks ago, we found out that the main casing collapsed. The well is not in use, so we've been without water for the last 2 weeks out at Weed and Pest. Water is our main source to fill up all of our water tanks for going out and spraying. So right now, ITD are letting us use the top fill station they have across the street, so we can still go out and spray and do all that. But there's been times where my guys came here to try to fill up 600 gallons with a hose, and it took them 3 hours. So, you know, that just doesn't work. And so working with Bruce Bain, which is the director out there at the Highway District, he's been great, been keeping me up to date on everything and informed on everything. Our half, the total for this new, for a new well, which they've already started drilling, Bruce is like, I'm not waiting, I gotta go, because they're in the same boat we are. The total thing was $128,400. So our half is $64,200. And so I do have in my budget process, I had $32,500 in pest and in weed to expand the awnings, extend them so we can enclose them. I'm willing to forego that if, and I'll do a purchase order if the board agrees to go ahead and take that total, which is right at 65,000, that will pay for our half of the well, and then I'll forego the enclosing the awnings for this year.
Commissioner Van Beek.
Yes, I think it's a, oh, sorry.
It, to me, makes sense more to take this out of the contingency, because this was an unplanned, unforeseen event, rather than to chop a different project. Your thoughts on that?
I'm processing. I had a conversation with Bruce Bain out there, so I'm prefacing on the story, but Rick, clarify for me, is the pump, I thought Bruce said the pump was still functional. Is that true? Can you reuse that or no?
Yeah, Commissioner Van Beek, yes, the pump we can reuse.
Okay.
But they're still drilling a whole new well, and I don't know how deep it is.
Yeah.
So it is an 8-inch stainless, you know, screen on it. It's a 10-inch casing, but it's, again, I just don't know how deep they have to go.
Yeah.
It might be 200-300 feet deep, so.
Yeah.
I was just trying to come up with an option that that I could forego without trying to use any fund balance or anything off of our weed and pest budget sides.
Yeah.
There's some future, maybe some future ideas of doing other things on, you know, for weed and pests anyway. So I wanted to look at just a complete over big picture.
And I guess before we make a decision, Chairman, on whether or not you know, we have Kyle Wilmot here, the controller, but I like Rick's idea of using, and we're making a public record of why it would be necessary to reallocate for those awnings. There's other contingent factors on that as well, but it wouldn't require, I guess, us reopening the budget potentially to do that. Help me understand, Kyle, what your mind wants to see on this budget process.
Commissioners, Chairman, if, like I said, if we were to go the route that Director Burton's discussing about just forgoing one of his other projects for this project, that would just kind of, that would be a net neutral situation. It just presumably would maybe go under a different capital line.
Mm-hmm.
In that manner. If there is, you know, the other method that Commissioner Brooks suggested, with maybe using the funds that we have set aside in general, as long as we're below that threshold as well, then there wouldn't need to be a budget amendment there. And as Commissioner Brooks stated, it's what that's there for as well. I can see both ways of being initially fine, because I don't think we would go over in that sense. So we'd be able to stay under our capacity. And also just to reiterate what Director Brent was stating, is that the weed and pest fund balances, they also have the capacity to potentially withstand it as well.
Yeah.
But I am kind of in agreement with Director Britton and maybe delaying that one project to make sure this gets done, because, like I said, water is kind of a critical function for what they're doing. And while the project that he had slated for this year, you know, is something that he deems as important, we can also potentially just push that off and rebudget it for next year as well.
Yeah. And the one thing, Chairman, that I wanted to say is I would probably want Kyle or the Chief to give us a position on the contingency fund before we continue to draw out of that. There are, at the end, it's like any project, finishing, sometimes you have unexpected things. We've got a few things hanging out there. I want to make sure that we don't draw that down in a way that erodes that. We have a, you know, the parking lot. I don't have that much information yet, so I don't know that we've come to an agreement, except that Rick has the budget capacity to absorb that. There's reasons we would want to wait with that awning project. And then Kyle doesn't seem to have a druthers on for the accounting side of that, which one makes more sense. So there's three pots. That's the good news.
Director, okay, go ahead. You got a dollar amount?
I was just letting you know that I should have that here.
Okay.
Within the prime minute.
From what I recall, it should be still around 300,000, right? Yeah. Director Breton, considering with what the county is looking to do very nearby, does it make sense? Is that one reason why you are bringing up to not do the project?
Mr. Chair, yeah. That's kind of one reason I'm fine with kind of pulling this off of this project. There might be some opportunities down the road that would just benefit all of Weed and Pest. And so, again, that's kind of why I was like, well, I'm fine with holding this off for a little bit if I need to. And if something, you know, if I need to, I'll know more by our budget time. You know, if I need to put this in for next year, I'll have a little more further information.
Okay.
On what this looks like for future.
Well, at this point, I'm fine with it, because I know we have the money either way. And I think we've spoken enough on the record about it to be transparent that we budgeted to do a certain project and now we're going to divert those funds somewhere else. So.
And again, this will be 32.5 out of weed and 32.5 out of pest.
Okay.
So it's a split.
Yep. And the great thing, let's put another kudos on the record. Since Director Britton has taken over the weed and pest, that's become a very viable department under the board that is serving well. So I appreciate your management of the funds and that we can access that. You manage a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, and commissioners, that's something, you know, capital projects out at Weed and Pest, we don't do a lot of capital. This is probably my first capital in 4 years since I've taken over that we've mm-hmm. even looked at doing. So, I mean, this is a smaller, one of our smaller operations for me. But again, thanks for the kind words. But I think this is a good use of those funds.
Yeah.
Like I said, that water is very important for us. And so they're trying to expedite this a little bit. So there's an opportunity that they could have this well up and going by end of next week is what I've kind of heard. So.
Yeah, and that's what Bruce conveyed, that there's a well driller that's understands the critical nature of what's done out there. I would also say that the contingency, I'm glad that's in place, but that there could be a big ask on that depending on how we move forward with other ancillary projects.
Yeah, and I think commissioners, I've spoken a lot to like contingency stuff, and there's so many unknowns that could pop up, and it's always nice to be able to have that down the road. We've still got a half a budget season left, so you just never know what happens. So, I mean, it's just nice to have some funds available when something pops up. So
yeah, for sure.
Let's go that route then. Okay. Thank you.
I'll submit a purchase order, and then you guys will see that coming through. So I'll do that today.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
On that purchase order, are you guys fine if I do one purchase order, but to put both line item? Well, no, I'll have to do it separate. So I'll do 32.5 for each one.
Okay. Sounds good.
Chief, anything else for the open record? Legal? Anything open?
No. Director Britton, was this the only update you had, or did you have one for the exec?
I would like to go into exec if we possibly can. Just for the property that we're looking at. So I want to kind of talk to you a couple things on that.
C, anything else?
Let's do C, D, and F.
Okay. And we're ready for that motion.
Yep.
Chairman, I move that the board adjourns to executive session under Idaho Code 742061, subsection ZC, regarding acquisition of real property, D, records exempt, and F, to communicate with our legal counsel regarding pending or likely litigation.
I second. Commissioner Van Beek, how do you vote?
Yes.
And yes for myself, so we will now retire into executive session at 10:12.